No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, we also have a fourth wheel with us today, and that would be Captain Clay from Explorer Ventures. He runs this liveaboard operation that, you know, you can dive on his boats around the world and for a week at a time. But he's also a pilot, and he is going to help us out. What position will you be taking? I don't know. He won't be co-pilot. He'll be
the flight attendant.
I don't know. He's going to have some major liability stuff if people are diving on his boat, though.
Well, okay. Well, he does, but he's used to that. Yeah, it's no big thing.
Talking about diving in the boat versus off the boat?
Yeah, possibly. You know, Keith doesn't swim, so he's worried about this type of stuff. You know,
I'll tell you what, I'll be the pilot that gets locked out of the cockpit on landing.
Okay.
All right, there's another story, yep.
All right, so, I don't know, flight attendant doesn't, you know, blow wind
up
your
skirt.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd like that.
Okay, well, fair
enough.
Notice
he said
nothing. As long as you guys are good with a very low standard for in-flight catering, that's fine by me.
Hey, look at our crew. I mean, come on.
Good point.
We have very low standards. But anyway, welcome aboard, and we got a lot to cover. Now, you know, one of the biggest stories that popped up on the Crash News Network this week was the fact that they were covering another crash. But this time, the NTSB has blamed it on the pilot taking a selfie. So we're going to delve into that one here in a few minutes. It's kind of a crazy story. But last week, Captain Keith wanted to get into some story, and we got sidetracked. Well, we got into Abington's cross-country journey out to Indonesia.
We're talking a lot about Cirrus that ditched.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to cover, and we didn't get to Keith's story that he wanted to kind of cover. So, you know, Keith, the soapbox is yours. Take it away, my friend.
Well, thank you for the soapbox.
Yeah.
He's tall enough, he doesn't need one.
True.
Yeah, you know, I don't need that. But I did want to just mention the fact that there is a woman who's trying to sue the FAA because a plane crashed into her home.
Hmm.
And she was in the home when it crashed.
Okay.
And she was not hurt by the crash, but she was hurt when she crawled out one of the windows of her home. And so she injured her shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, the people that were in the aircraft were all killed. I believe there's two or three people in the aircraft.
Mm. Okay.
And so she is now suing the FAA because the FAA does not require pilots to have insurance on aircraft.
Which is true.
Yeah.
It is a true statement.
But that shouldn't affect her. I mean, she should have homeowners insurance. That would cover her situation, shouldn't
that
she?
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, yes. But there's no deep pockets for her to go after for, loss of anything else,
right,
which is probably her point.
Yes, yeah. And so she's going to try and get something out of the FAA.
Good luck with that.
My guess.
Yeah, right.
So my guess is, being that how our government is very reactive to things, if she would happen to win this case, which that's going to be kind of a long shot anyway, just because you can't really sue the FAA.
A governmental agency. You can't do that, can you?
No.
Yeah. So she's out of luck. This is one of those like spilling the hot coffee from McDonald's type of lawsuits, isn't it?
But she won, didn't she?
Yeah, that one was a case where they won.
She won like $1.2 million. She won like $1.2 million for that.
Oh, geez. So,
going through McDonald's tomorrow morning then.
I'm just thinking that that there may be something a few years down the road here where the FAA is going to require pilots to have insurance.
No!
Whether it's renter's insurance or something else. Just because, you know that they're very reactive in things like this.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Go ahead.
I'd have to say, although the circumstances in which liability insurance at least is necessary for an airplane is probably significantly less than for an automobile. It seems to make sense to me that you know that airplanes should carry at least liability insurance if they do something stupid.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say a majority of aircraft owners have a liability policy, have insurance policies. But, you know, true, it's not required, but most of us do it because we have something to lose, and we want to protect that.
Well, of course, but I would think in this situation, she still, isn't there some recourse she would have against the pilot? I mean, in this case, they passed away.
She would have recourse against their estate, I would think.
Yeah, I would think.
But if he wasn't carrying insurance on the airplane, every one of his other policies will say aviation exclusion. We don't pay for those type of things. Because anytime you try to mention the word aviation to a non-aviation insurance organization, they just run and hide. Say, nope, we don't cover it. For example, you try to get life insurance as a pilot.
Right.
You know, you're going to run into a, oh, we'd like to exclude that, or you're going to pay extra for that unless you're going through an organization like AOPA that has an agreement with an insurance company that, you know, specifically searching pilots as a class of people to insure.
Understood. Okay, so Keith, the bottom line is that you see a legislative effort coming our way that's going to force us to have more insurance or something along those lines. That's what you're thinking or predicting?
I say it's a very good possibility that is going to come down the line.
And you feel how about this?
Well, I think that pilots should carry some type of insurance as well. You know, I mean, we require our renters to carry insurance, and if for no other reason than to cover
this is the way I explain it to our customer.
All right.
The insurance policy, for example, you know, when you're flying the airplane with us, the insurance policy covers the school.
Right.
You know, we'll replace the airplane, you know, covers Keith and myself as owners of the school, covers the aircraft owner who leases the airplane to us, covers their bank who lends them the money to buy the airplane to lease it to us.
Mm-hmm.
The only person in this whole equation that's not covered is the pilot in command of that aircraft. They have no coverage. We'll get the airplane fixed. If somebody sues us, we'll be covered. But if you land off airport and you total somebody's car in landing on a road, that person can turn around and sue you as the pilot of that airplane for damages to their car.
Right.
We're all going to get named in the policy.
They're going to sue everybody.
Mm-hmm. But that includes you. And they're like, oh, I thought your insurance policy covers it. There are even some schools that sell customers in, you know, quote unquote, that they're covered, when in reality, all they're telling the customer, without really telling them this, is that their flight school's insurance company has waived the ability to sue that pilot if anything goes wrong. It doesn't stop Joe Public from suing that pilot if something goes wrong. Yeah. And once you explain that to them, their eyes get really, really big, and they ask for the Avemco form to get renter's insurance.
Which is really inexpensive comparatively.
Yeah, I think, you know, $300, $400 a year.
Okay. And that protects you and whatever you happen to do.
Yeah.
Whatever mistakes you happen to make.
Yeah.
Hopefully not that many. But, you know, I don't know. I'm a little conflicted on it. I mean, I agree with you that we should take that responsibility on ourselves, but does it have to be mandatory? And that's what she's screaming about, because she feels that she was left out, or she just figures that maybe she could, you know, score some big bucks from the FAA.
Well, the government has all the money, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, they can just print more.
That's true. Yeah, this is true. So, I don't know. Maybe that's... who knows what the motivation is, but usually it has something to do with dollars, I'm guessing.
Always.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, like, has this been a major problem in the past, or is this kind of a relatively new type of a development, isn't it?
Most of the time, the aircraft are insured if there's a lien against them. Just like if you have your car, the company that you borrowed the money from insists on coverage.
Right.
But once your car is old and paid off, you can cut the coverage back and nobody will care.
Right.
Well, but there are state laws that you can't drive without liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what that's so she's thinking of it. Well, it's just like a car, and it should be regulated.
Hmm. Well, more regulation makes things better.
Never.
I didn't think
Did
so.
Did I say that out loud?
I don't know if everyone agrees with that philosophy there, Ed. You might be in a, I don't know, are you in a minority or the majority, you think? Keith?
Keith, yeah. Who's our resident political expert here?
Yeah, I'm going to go along with Ed on this one here
okay.
and say
All
that
right.
more regulation is not good.
Not a fan. We'll put you in that category. Okay. All right. Well, look, are you thinking about picking up a selfie stick for your next flight? Maybe want to rethink
that. That was last year. Last year, 2014, was the year of the selfie.
Yeah, and see what happened? It caused a plane crash, evidently. I don't know. We'll get into it next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I ain't never been in no airplane. This thing looked like a toy come out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, my truck weighs more than this airplane does. For all I know, he hits a Blue Jay, he's going down.
Well, you can be a blackbird on a country street, hiding from the world with the broken wing, but you better believe you're gonna fly with me. You're gonna fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also, Captain Clay. We got a full crew for you today on the big show. And by the way, that was from the TV show Moonshiners.
Okay, I was wondering. I'd never heard that before.
You'd never heard that? It's a new one, yeah.
Yeah, that was a new one.
I mean, who would have thunk it? Well, I didn't know it. But you realize that airplanes played a major role in moonshine running back in the day. Did you know
that? That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to line up the those old cars or the, you know, the bootleggers.
Yeah.
And they used to light up a grass runway with their headlights. They'd drop off the moonshine in their airplanes and do some deliveries via air back in the day. And maybe
That's still going on, I'm afraid, in South Florida occasionally.
South Florida? Well, maybe they, you know, I think they're up in
South Texas.
All over. Anyway, something else to, you know, think about.
Pretty much anywhere down south.
Yep. True. Exactly.
But cigars played a huge role in aviation as well.
What was that?
Cigars played role in aviation.
You're not supposed to smoke and fly. What do you mean?
Well, not anymore, but they used to. And that's how they used to time the mail routes. They'd get up in the air and they'd light a cigar and they'd puff on it. When it got to a certain point, they knew they could let down and find the fires to land.
Now, that's a new one. That's something I did not know.
He just made that up.
No. It's coming from Keith. It can't be made up.
What? Really? You are a gullible son of a gun.
No.
Yeah.
But no, that sounds plausible.
Okay. You say so. Leave it to Keith to start a nasty rumor like that. But whatever. We'll leave it lie. Let's talk about this story that popped up on the Crash News Network this week. CNN, our favorite network, obviously covering every plane crash they could ever find, and then some that we've never heard of and made up or whatever. I don't know. But this week, and it really wasn't their fault. They were just covering a release on evidently a private pilot crash. I think it was a Cessna 150, from what I remember. And the pilot and his co-pilot were doing a night flight and evidently took a selfie with their cell phone. And the theory is that it blinded them, caused, spatial...
disorientation.
Yeah, disorientation. And they ended up maybe stalling and crashing the plane. So the headline was, "Selfie causes plane crash, details at 6. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, what? And sure enough, I mean, you read it, and this is the report from the NTSB. That's what they're saying. So, you know, maybe, I don't know if a selfie stick would make it safer, because the camera can be put farther away from you and wouldn't blind you as easily. But this whole theory of of it blinding them, so to speak, I mean, I guess it is plausible, right, Ed?
I mean, if they turned the flash on.
Well, of course. I mean, I don't think it blinded them with the flash off. I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be more just a result of, a low-time pilot, somebody not really familiar with night flight, just getting distracted more than anything.
Yeah. Well,
I would guess. I can't imagine crashing a plane because I was
got a big old blurry spot in the center of my vision, but
well, yeah. Is it that possible that it could get it could throw you for a loop that much and you'd lose your equilibrium in the plane and feel like it was going sideways?
I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to lighten Greg's eyes.
My retinas!
So, can you see anything now? How many fingers am I holding up?
Well, who is your... What? Where am I?
It's just one.
That's right.
I am number one. Thank you. Anyway, so I don't know. I guess it's plausible. But, yeah, it seems like a kind of a bonehead move. I mean,
well, definitely. I mean, that's one more in the list of stupid pilot tricks that I haven't seen listed in an NTSB report.
I mean, who hasn't had their cell phone and accidentally left the flash on? Hello, I'm raising my hand.
But in a related note, there was an article I read, and you guys would know more about it than I do, recently about all the photos that I've been taking from the cockpit of airplanes on landing.
Yeah,
from airline pilots, and that was in fact illegal for an airline pilot to take photos or do anything with an electronic instrument other than actually fly the airplane.
That would make sense. Yeah, but what do you mean? Just guys doing like filming? Hey, I got to film this landing for my Facebook page, kind of thing.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well,
so.
What Ed's looking at me like, I can't say this, but I do this every day.
No, we've done it with the GoPro.
Well, yeah, I mean,
for the show.
Well, you're not really messing with it.
No, it's just up there running.
Yeah, I guess if you're futzing with your cell phone video, trying to do like a panoramic picture, and you're landing the plane, trying to move the phone sideways very slowly in an even line, yeah, that could be a problem.
Well, there's also the fact that no electronics other than what's licensed, if you will, can be used on the flight. So,
well, you're talking about commercial flights, but like on a private plane type. Well, I don't know. What are you talking about, Clay? What do you think? Is that a story you saw for commercial pilots? It is.
Yeah, that was for Part 135 ops only. I mean, basically airlines. But, I mean, as far as private pilots, pretty much anything goes except for selfies and flashes and crashing and
burning. Well, I don't think there's a problem with doing selfies with flashes. It's just the crashing part that they frown upon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
It's not the falling that hurts, it's the crashing that hurts.
True, exactly. So maybe that's just, you know, a little food for thought there. But I don't know, yeah. I mean, that would seem like, you know, a common sense type of thing as well, but it's one of those things that maybe they're not enforcing as strictly as they should,
well,
I guess.
No. See, they require you to be, you know, 17-year-old to be a pilot, yeah, read and speak the English language, but nowhere in the regs does it say I must have common sense.
Nowhere. So I still have a shot, is what you're saying.
Yes, outside shot.
All right.
I don't think that's a requirement, but I think it is in the FARs. How do they phrase it?
How do they phrase it, Keith? What do you think? No? Do you have a suggestion or not?
Well, it's just read, speak, and understand the English language, but they don't say anything about common sense in there.
Yeah, okay. He's checking. He's thumbing through the book as we speak. All right, well...
It'll be new in the new PTS that'll be under aeronautical decision-making.
Well, that's what it is. That's
required. And you're right, it is.
That's where they gauge it, is on your check ride. You have to have good aeronautical judgment. So that's what they're
taking
looking
a selfie at night with a flash is not good aeronautical decision making.
It isn't, but you know, it really isn't going to matter because computers are going to be doing this all for us.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, flight training professionals. Also, Captain Clay is with us today. And, you know, look, yeah, I'm trying to learn how to fly. I'm surrounded by three full-time pilots, and I'm a perpetual, you know, pilot in training. But I will catch up eventually. I will become a certified pilot, regardless of the future. Because, you know, I've been saying this many times in the past, but when it comes to landing these airplanes, you know, and we have the flight simulators and all this kind of stuff, I've said this many times, especially to you, Ed. I was like, why am I learning this? Can't I just press the button and let the computer do it for me? And they're already doing this in Switzerland. Did you see that story?
Yeah, I did. I didn't read it completely, but I did see something about the
fully automated
airport.
Yeah. And evidently they got a tower set up at one airport in Switzerland about 100 miles away from the runway that is just a wall of computer screens. It's basically a simulated tower. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're looking at the runway and landing the plane for them, I guess, or just doing the air traffic control or both.
I don't know. I didn't read the article.
Oh, well, sorry. Okay. Well, I think they're doing a little bit of both. I mean, they're definitely doing the... you know, the radio tower information. And
see, I did glance at this, and I knew, oh, God, Greg's going to want to talk about this week. I should have read it.
Yeah, because you knew.
It was either drones or computers flying an airplane. Greg was going to want to talk about it.
And I got a drone story coming up here in just a bit, so you can count on that. But I don't know. What do you think, Keith? Is this the future? Is this what's going to happen, and they're going to replace us pilots with some computer thing, just or like on the ground in cars? We're all going to be chauffeured around in Ubermobiles or something, or what? What do you think?
Well, there's already airliners that can do what we call Cat 3 landings, and they land the airplane all by themselves. And there's a lot of qualifications that go into it as far as the aircraft and the pilot training is concerned. But, I mean, that's been happening for years. The airplane will line up on the ILS system, land the airplane, roll out, and it just says take over for taxi.
And they're just going to put us pilots out of business? What's going on? This doesn't sound...
They're going to try.
But we're going to go out kicking and screaming, and we'll figure out a way to keep the fun in this activity. All right, more coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying away, is that a bad thing?
Only if you're a human being.
Fly away, dance all night, sing all day. I've grown these wings so I can fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also from Explore Ventures, our buddy Captain Clay, who flies around the Caribbean. And I don't know, you just got back from flying God knows where, I guess, Clay, haven't you? Or are you getting ready to leave again? You're either coming or going.
I just did a quick trip from Wyoming down to Florida and the Turks and Caicos and over to Alabama and then Texas and home. So I'm home for... Oh, another 3 or 4 days, but next trip I'm driving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, beach driving. I hear you. Yeah, and what about this idea, though, of eventually having an airplane and just have it fly for you? Do you like this idea, or is that kind of – would that take the total enjoyment out of it for you?
Well, you know, on those long trips, being able to just relax and back and, you know, have a sandwich, take a snooze, you know, that's not that's really not all that bad, although it would take some of the enjoyment out of you know, I would assume that local flying is still going to be an option, but you know, I think technology has progressed to the point that I think it's inevitable that at some point down the road, you know, airliners are going to be remotely controlled, probably with a pilot on board, maybe. But
well, and here's my problem with all of that.
Yeah, what
I want my pilot of my airplane to be up in front.
Well, he would. It'd just be like from the airplane movies. They'd press a button and
What you're talking about is a total automation. What I'm talking about is I want a person up there whose skin is in the game with me in the back. Because they make they may not make better decisions, but at least they're suffering the same consequences if they make a mistake versus some guy flying it from 100 miles away. Oops, lost another one.
Control, Alt, Delete.
Really?
Game over.
You know, the pilots are the ones that have the bear the brunt of the impact.
Exactly.
You know, the pilots are generally sitting in the front of the plane, so they're the first ones to get it.
They're the first ones at the scene of the accident, so, you know, I want them there.
Yeah, they just provide padding for the rest of you. So.
Okay, well, that's one way to look at it for sure. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, and as the automation just gets better and better, I mean, it definitely looks like that's the way it's going to go. And you know, ultimately, it probably will be a lot safer, I guess, wouldn't it? It would solve the issue of the insurance that the lady wants, the FAA.
Future Farmers of America?
No. I mean, if she wants to sue the FAA for liability insurance, like, hey, I wasn't flying the plane. The computer. Sue the computer!
How many computers do you know have ever locked up or had some kind of a malfunction where you've had to reset it, restart it, all those kinds of things? You know, they got to come up with a way for that not to happen. And it's man-made, so it's you're not taking humans out of the picture totally anyway.
Yeah, well, and now here it's the other thing is the pilot and what we do a lot of our training around is that, as we talked about earlier, aeronautical decision-making, making judgments, you know, and how can a machine make decisions? It can say yes or it can say no. It can't really reason through a situation, assess the risks, and make choices. It's either A or B, true or false.
Right. And a great example of that, they can plug in all kinds of different scenarios, but you can't come up with every scenario. And, you know, case in point, the DC-10 that Al Haynes crashed in Sioux City, Iowa, when the number two engine came apart and went through all three hydraulic lines. And, I mean, that was a what-if that was
never
supposed to happen and be able to come up with, and yet it happened. And so there's always going to be scenarios that they can never come up with to make that computer, you know, be able to make the decision to go ahead and do it. And they would be in the exact same boat where the computer no longer has any control over the flight controls, now what do you do?
That sounds like a job for Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he comes in as a cyborg from the future. And
I'm back.
I can imagine a middle step, though. I mean, you know, right now, you know, whenever you're flying, you know, particularly IFR, it's a pretty antiquated system. I mean, you're, you know, the pilot's flying the plane, or the autopilot's flying the plane, and they're just dependent on listening to and then acknowledging a verbal request from a controller on a radio to tell you what heading, what speed, you know, what track you're going to take. And, you know, I can certainly imagine in the not too far distant future some sort of an intermediate step where you can slave your autopilot to, you know, commands to the controller, something that might be overridden by the pilot if it became an unsafe condition. But at least, you know, controllers would sit there and say, okay, let's turn this one to 360 and turn this one to 270 and slow this one down to, you know, 250 or whatever the case might be. And make it a little bit more seamless. Because right now the system is a little bit clunky. It works pretty well.
Works pretty good, But it needs a little assistance here and there.
Yep.
And you got to keep an eye on those electronics and stuff. But, you know, that is one intermediate step. The other step would be the drones and the quadcopters. You know,
nice segue. Well done.
Well, you're welcome. You know, because I do think that's going to happen first. And it's already happening. I mean, what happened this week with the drones is evidently there's a company, or they've already got a prototype of a response drone that would basically answer to like car accidents and things like that. Did you see that one, Ed?
No, I didn't.
Looks very space age for sure, but it basically is a quadcopter that could go and respond immediately to a car crash, land right there at the site on a highway, for instance, and would be act like a first responder ambulance type of thing. Could even potentially airlift someone to safety. But it's
put the victim out of its misery, out of their misery.
Exactly. But, you know, one of the problems, I mean, this is actually is pretty great idea, really, because one of the problems when you have car wrecks, you know, they're in the interstate, the emergency vehicles have to get to them. If there's traffic all around, it's tough. And this thing can go down, out there and just land, you know, and there'll be a speaker come on off like, person outside the car, crawl to me or something and jump in and I will fly you to safety. I mean, you know, of course he would announce
he's
just like
way
that.
Too many sci-fi shows.
No, it's right here. It says it right here on this press release. But anyway, so that's the future. I think that'll happen first. And then as those drones end up proving themselves or end up taking over the world like the Terminator movies, it will determine the future of whether or not we're going to allow the computers to handle all the flying things.
Well, since how you brought up drones, there has been some new stuff out this week about the proposed rulemaking for regulating UAVs.
Yeah.
And it looks like the wording is really going to possibly hurt hobbyists. You know, the guys that build the remote control airplanes and fly them over the remote control airfields.
Right.
It's very unclear how they've worded it, and that part of the industry is very worried about that
stifling their business, of course.
Well, just stifling their fun. I mean, you know, I had a radio controlled airplane before I flew the real ones. It's part of the enthusiasm of aviation.
Sure,
you know, and I know a lot of people that have never, you know, can't fly, and then in their older age they start building the models and going out and flying them because they, you know, they want to be part of this. They still have the passion for it, and it might fall under this regulation and be somewhat restricted.
So have you seen some preliminary verbiage on what they're planning to do, or just saying, hey, you can't do it, or here's the restrictions?
It has to do with they call it a low weight UAV.
Right, under 30 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what their number was.
Yeah,
I don't recall what they put out there as a number, but it was kind of something that caused a little stir, and I think Tom Haines did a part on it on AOPA Live last week.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you're right. It was weight related for sure.
Yeah,
but you know, that's not going to be a problem. I mean, because even if they can do 20 pounds or thereabouts, as long as it's big enough, you know, or heavy enough where it can take a camera up, that's what they're going to be using them for mostly anyway. I mean, it comes to taking people, is one thing, but...
Have you ever seen some of the things they do with these remote-controlled airplanes? I mean, they look like the real thing. They're 15 feet wide.
Well, exactly.
With, you know, a B-29 with four engines on it, 15 feet wide.
Well, it doesn't have to be that big, though, to create a problem. Well, that's the problem. The smaller ones is the ones I'm worried about.
That is a bona fide hobby that people enjoy, and, mm-hmm. you know, it is in part of aviation enthusiasm that the FAA is going to start regulating, and you know how much we want more regulation.
Not a fan. You fall into that category, even when it comes to drones.
Not with drones, but I'm talking with remote control airplanes. They've been working in and around airports for years. Mm-hmm. They have their own little fields, and they don't interfere at all. But the FAA is going to put them under the same restrictions.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Hell if we know, but it's the future. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly and have them be your flight instructors if you so choose. Also from Explorer Ventures Liveaboards, good friend, Captain Clay is with us. He has a Piper Saratoga SP that he flies down through the Caribbean, visits his boats and, you know, does business, that kind of thing. And flies around, and every once in a while, he'll let me go with him and bug him if I'm lucky. Once.
I don't know.
Every once in a while, it might not happen again.
Exactly. Depends on many things. But, hey, he did it once, and I thank him for it. So I'll leave it at that. But Ed has had this story he's been wanting to chat about.
Well, it kind of goes back into these, you know, government regulation that we've been talking about. With less regulation is better. Just announced yesterday the Obama's fiscal year 2016 budget was released.
Yeah.
And there are no per flight user fees in it. So it's a huge win for NBA, EAA, AOPA. And specifically, the press release came from Ed Bolin at the National Business Aircraft Association.
Yeah.
He stated that, you know, it really stems from the work that the organizations have done, all of them, within Congress, and the fact that there were a large number of congressmen that have already written letters this year to the president saying, don't put user fees in there. It goes also, there's 100 mayors from across the country that have written to the White House and said, don't put user fees in there. We don't want them. They're not the right thing. So, you know, it kind of shows that what we've been talking about over the last year with Tom Haines and the other people within the industry, Mark Baker from AOPA, the AOPA president, that this approach of let's focus on Congress is paying off. And now it does bring up that there is in there a hit to aircraft depreciation, specifically business jet depreciation, that Obama's been calling a, you know,
Rich boy tax.
Rich, you know, business jet loophole.
Right.
Where we can depreciate it over 5 years, and they're proposing it move to 7 years. Mm. And then it goes on to state that there is a large group of entities within the government and without that have said, no, this is the right way to do it. It does stimulate the economy, because if you can depreciate more of the asset's value closer to the purchase point, you are going to stimulate building of new products, and it's going to help the labor, provide jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And that's across party lines that has been stated too. So,
well, that aviation
that is kind of one of the negatives out of the budget. But I think the thing we need to concentrate on, this is the first time in
many
all
years
of his presidencies and a few other presidencies that the per airplane user fee was not even put in the budget at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's a win.
And you know, we have the largest evidently caucus in Congress of aviators. The Aviation Caucus, I forget what the official caucus name is, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And
I think it's the General Aviation Caucus.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Democrats, Republicans together, but they have an interest in the aviation industry, and they've done a real good job. You know, whether it's AOPA or EAA and all the organizations talking to the congressmen, the representatives, and making sure... Yeah, and making sure that they were aware of all the benefits of aviation. And, you know, you could call that a lobbyist thing, and some people aren't fans of that. But, you know, this is a situation where you look at it and it's like, wow, these guys have organized and kept the Congress informed to the point that they are not making, well, making less bonehead decisions that affect our industry and general aviation and, you know, as a whole, which is great. I mean, that's good to see.
Yeah,
and you know, it's pretty amazing that he didn't put that in the budget this year, because he's been yelled at for the last 8 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't do it, and he does it. And this year he decided not to do it, which is quite a surprise. But maybe they're finally making some headway, or at least getting him to listen, or he just gave up. You think?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Okay, if he's not trying to get money there, where is he trying to get money from?
Well,
you know that.
Here's our budget. We're not going to do this.
There is something about taxes and Democrats that go hand in hand.
But remember when we were at the NBAA show, and I sat there and I told you at the general conference at the beginning of the event, it was very much split amongst party lines this year. It wasn't really, I mean, remember James Carville even said, he got up there and was one of the speakers, you know, hardcore Democrat, and God bless him for it. But he says, hey, look, I do kind of feel like a fire hydrant at a dog convention today. But there were a lot of Democratic representatives and congressmen that actually spoke. It was a very even split of presentations along party lines this year.
And I think part of it is the industry has gotten smart, and they are going on both sides of the aisle, not just on the one side of the aisle. That's probably why the Aviation Caucus has grown the way that it has and is now able to get these things done.
Yeah. Flying brings everyone together. It's something they can agree on. It's kind of a love fest kind of thing when it comes to that. We all love flying, right, Clay? You're with me.
We do. And I think, you know, one of the things that I was going to mention is, you know, the general aviation industry, as I see it, is sort of split, you know, roughly in two. You've got the, you know, the business jets, and you've got the higher end business transportation aircraft, and you've got the, you know, the low and slow, you know, piston engine people that are just out on a Sunday to go get a $100 hamburger or $200 hamburger or whatever it is. And then one of the great joys that I have, you meet all sorts of cool people. You see all sorts of cool little out of the way, sleepy airports. You know, most people don't realize is there.
That's right.
You know, they're little local airports, and the ability to make transportation a lot easier from out of the way places to central hubs or whatever. It's pretty cool.
Pilots are pretty cool folks.
Three out of four ain't bad.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
They're just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.